Local people, local stories. This is the All Local from 1010 Winds.
I'm Linda Lopez, and here are today's top local stories. FBI agents have seized the phones of at least four top officials in the Adams administration, and it's just the latest in a flurry of investigative activity around the administration. Our Juliet Papa is following the story. She joins us now with the latest. Juliet.
That's right, Linda, and it's an ever-widening probe. Schools Chancellor David Banks, a day after the first day of school, issued a statement this morning saying he is cooperating with federal investigators after his phone and the phone of his partner, First Deputy Mayor Sheena Wright, were seized Wednesday by the FBI. Now, the Wednesday searches also occurred at the home of Deputy Mayor for Public Safety Phil Banks. That is the chancellor's brother. The investigative action continued through Thursday as the police commissioner's phone was seized and at least five others in the department were subpoenaed. Tim Pearson, a former cop and close friend of the mayor, also under investigation. He currently holds a position with the Office of Economic Development dealing with safety at migrant shelters. And there are reports that another Banks brother was subpoenaed and a brother of the police commissioner also swept up in the investigation. Reporting live, Juliet Papa, 1010 Winds on 92.3 FM.
Two of Donald Trump's legal cases are being heard here today in New York City. Our Mac Rosenberg following the details, and he joins us now live.
Yeah, Linda, busy day here in the city for Donald Trump on the defense, really trying to quiet his legal troubles. First, there's the civil lawsuit where Trump was found liable for sexually assaulting columnist E. Jean Carroll in the 90s. That is a $5 million ruling, which Trump will try to get an appeals court to overturn. Trump's attorneys say the case was, quote, muddied by improper evidence, like testimony from two other women who said Trump sexually abused them. That, by the way, is the same strategy that Harvey Weinstein used successfully. They also say that there was evidence that was not allowed in the case. That should have been. Then there's the conviction in the hush money case where Trump was convicted of lying about business records to cover up the payment to Stormy Daniels. The next step there is sentencing. It's scheduled for September 18th. The judge today will decide whether or not to grant Trump's request to delay until after the election. And after all that, we're going to hear from the former president in a press conference at Trump Tower at noon. Reporting live, Mac Rosenberg, 1010 Winds on 92.3 FM.
And of course, we'll bring you the latest from that press conference at noon, so keep it right here on 1010 Winds. Long Island Congressman Anthony D'Esposito has become the latest lawmaker in Washington to call for September 11th to be made a national holiday. He spoke to 1010 Winds.
And the numbers of people that have died after 9/11 from 9/11-related illnesses, that's growing greater than those who actually died on the day. So, yeah, I do believe it's a day that we should be closing schools, we should be closing banks. It should be a federal holiday.
D'Esposito says making September 11th a holiday is also a way to keep the day fresh in everyone's memory, especially to those too young to remember it themselves. New Jersey Congressman Josh Gottheimer is among the lawmakers who made a similar proposal last year. The NYPD is searching for two men suspected in a pair of separate sex attacks this week in New York City. In the first one, investigators say a 78-year-old woman was inside her home on Graff and Schurz Avenue in the Throgs Neck section of the Bronx late Sunday night when a man burst through the front door, exposed himself, then forcibly touched her before making off with her purse, jewelry, and two landline phones. In the second incident, 3 days later, police say a 75-year-old woman was walking near Holy Cross Cemetery in East Flatbush, Brooklyn, when a man tried to rape her before running off. You can see photos of both of those suspects at 1010winds.com. If you recognize either of them, you're asked to call Crime Stoppers at 800-577-TIPS. Three teenagers are under arrest following separate incidents at schools on Long Island.
At Sachem High School North, police say a school employee was waiting as a 15-year-old got off the bus. Authorities soon arrested the teenager after they say he brought a knife to school. Another 15-year-old was also arrested, accused of threatening the first teen back in July. And as we reported, a teenager was charged this week for threatening to shoot people at Brennan High School in West Babylon. Authorities say he wrote the message in a chat And the superintendent in Levittown says a middle school student brought a bullet to school. In a letter to parents, that superintendent says no threats were made and no weapon was brought to the school. Sophia Hall, 1010 Winds on 92.3 FM on Long Island.
And the teenager accused in Wednesday's death. At least six people were hurt, two of them firefighters, after a fire at the Woodside houses in Queens. Officials say those flames broke out just before 8 this morning in a first-floor apartment and took FDNY about 40 minutes to get under control. Fortunately, all of the injuries are said to be minor, and the cause of the fire is under investigation. The Gary Sinise Foundation has been working since 2011 to support the nation's veterans and first responders. And today, Sinise himself will be serving what he calls warm meals of gratitude to firefighters at FDNY Engine Company 280, Ladder 132 in Brooklyn. Ahead of the visit, the Forrest Gump and Apollo 13 star spoke to 1010 Winds.
If I'm walking through an airport and I see somebody who's in uniform serving our country, I make sure to pat them on the back. Those little gestures can go a long way in helping somebody through, what sometimes can be a very bad day. You never know when somebody may have just lost one of those friends.
Sinise will also be awarding a $10,000 grant to the FDNY Foundation today. You can get more information on supporting his charitable efforts at GarySiniseFoundation.org. Some of the biggest names in the industry are helping to kick off New York Fashion Week this morning at Rockefeller Center. Our Marla Diamond is there, and she joins us live.
And the cameras were flashing, Linda, as superstars of the fashion world, Anna Wintour, Michael Kors, Tory Burch, and many others, helped cut the ribbon on a giant television that will show live-streamed and recorded runway shows starting today through Wednesday for New York Fashion Week. These free-to-the-public looks at the newest fashions by world-famous designers is part of a partnership between New York Fashion Week and the Council of Fashion Designers of America. B.D. Kelly, the head of Rock Center for Tishman Speyer, said it's a chance for the average Joe or Jane to get the front row seats usually reserved for celebrities.
This week, feel like you're sitting front row center at a fashion show. You know, we were doing it with the Olympics earlier this summer. You felt like you were in Paris. And, you know, we'll do it in 2 months with ice skating. But I agree. I think it's exactly that feeling of making everyone feel like a VIP the moment you arrive
now,
here.
Now, Rock Center is but one of the public spaces that New York Fashion Week has used in the past. They've used Bryant Park and Lincoln Center. Rock Center tables and benches have been set up, and there's a temporary tiered viewing stand where fashion-loving viewers can get to enjoy shows in real time. Marla Diamond, 1010 Winds on 92.3 FM, live at Rock Center.
Sounds like so much fun.
Thanks for listening to the All Local from 1010 Winds. And for the latest news, traffic, and weather, tune to 1010 Winds, visit 1010winds.com, or download the Odyssey app to take us wherever you go.